Today's daf in Masechet Shkalim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Yud, and we're going to be starting our new perek on daf Tes Amud Beis with an introduction by our esteemed kapitan. Hatruma, ma hayu osimba. So now the Gemara is going to, now that we've talked about how we collect it and how we take it out, and in what order, and so on. Now we have to talk about what exactly is done with these funds. Now, these funds are a little bit complex because these sums do not consist of just one thing. Remember, we have all of the shkalim. They were in the lishka. And we have those shkalim that were put into the various containers. And those were the ones that we took out three times a year. And those are the ones that were called the Truma, and that which was left over was called the Shirayim. We had the Machlokes that we spoke about in the past parak, about whether these Shirayim are kept open for possible further Trumas to be taken from, according to Rabbi Meir, and therefore you would be Mayal on them. According to Chachomim, they became possible. Remember, we covered them with a tablecloth, a leather tablecloth. At that point, you were unable to take more from that. But that gives us, right off the bat, it gives us two completely different types of funds. So we have the Truma, and then we have the Shirayim. So we have the Truma Halishka, and we have the Shiore Halishka. Okay, so that's two things. Now, we also have another concept, which we're going to get to, which is the Mosar HaTruma. Because suppose you have stuff that was left over and wasn't usable. What do we do the Mosarot? That we haven't discussed either. You also have, as we'll see, Mosar of the Shiore HaLishka itself. The way you have that is because we have certain set fundings that Bezdin has been koveya come from the Shiore HaLishka. If those fundings were done and we still have money left over, then that's called the Mosar of the Shiore HaLishka. And then we'll see that according to one man di Omar, we also have Peirot. What are the peirot that are, they're called motar peirot. They don't mean leftover of the peirot. They mean that any profits that we've made, that's called peirot, any profits that we've made also have a din of motar. And we'll see how we would get to a situation where we had money that had been left over. We invested that money in order to make profit, as we'll see. And then we have a whole separate discussion. Okay, so what is done with that extra profit? So first, the Mishnah starts off talking about the straight-out use of the Truma. What did we do with the Truma? So obviously, the Tmidim, the Musafim, the Nesachim that were brought for those Tmidim and Musafim, that's a given, and that's an awful lot, because basically you've got, you know, your two Karbonis every single day with their Nesachim, and then you've got all of the Musafim from the entire year. So that's a lot. Then don't forget, there's also the Omer. There's the Shtei Alechem, there's the Lechem Aponim that has to be brought every single week. And then we also have Kol Korbanot HaTzibur, which have not been included, because did I tell you about the Ketoret that we need to buy? Did I tell you about the Korbanos of Yom Kippur that we need to buy, which are not Musafim, and so on? And then we've got all kinds of other things. We might have to buy fuel, we might have to buy salt. That's the question whether we're going to have these things that are going to be there by donations, which we'll talk about. There's something else that we would also have to pay, because consider what would be the din if we're going to be buying the grain in a normal year for the Omer, for the Shtei Alechem. Well, what are we going to do during Shemitah for the Omer and the Shtei Alechem? So, I mean, there's two possibilities. If it's mutter to bring the Omer and the Shtei Alechem from outside of Eretz Yisrael, which we'll see as a machlokas, so then, okay, you can simply buy it from grain that wasn't subject to the dinim of Shemitah. But what if you have to bring it from Eretz Yisrael? And then you can't actually grow it because it's Shemitah. So we have the equivalent of the price of that grain. What's the price of that grain during Shemitah? We have to hire people that are going to be standing in the field where there are svichim. Svichim means grain that grew up all on its own without having been planted. And these people are going to be watchmen. And anytime some animal tries to come by and maybe trample the grain, he chases it away. And anytime somebody comes by to picket, this guy's going to tell them, look, Hagdish needs this for the Omer Nishtei Alechem, so don't pick it. So that costs money to pay for Shmira the whole year, and that sachar is the equivalent of the price of the grain in the normal year. So they also take their sachar from the Truma Talishka. Rabbi Yossi says, well, what's so bad if people will donate their services to be volunteered watchmen? And then that would achieve the same thing. We wouldn't have to use money from the Truma Talishka. What the machlokas here is basically in the Yerushalmi, very different from the Bavli. In the Yerushalmi, the machlokas is whether we believe that someone can give over a carbon for a carbon tzibur to the tzibur yafa yafa, or whether there is a subconscious desire to hold on to your individual piece of the action when you're bringing a carbon on the Mizbeach, and therefore we need to buy it from public funds. We cannot accept donations. Dafka, that's one of the explanations in the Machlokas that in the Bavli, the Gemara is Deicha. But that's the simple way throughout the Sugya here of understanding the Machlokas, Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim. And the other ways, which are not here in the Yerushalmi, have to do with other questions, such as, is it going to be an effective shmira if it's not being paid for officially? Because then people will look at the so-called shomer as being a stuck-up do-gooder who's got no right to tell me what to do, and so on. They won't listen to him. Questions like that. But here, the machlokas is a very technical machlokas. Can we be meiser an individual's things to the tzibur? Yafa, yafa. So if we take a look at the famous din of the Zman Atze Kohenim V'Am, we have over here what appears to be the equivalent question. Remember that when the Aliyah came up to the second Beis HaMikdash at the time of Ezra, it says Beferish in the Pasuk, we did not find any wood in the Lishka. So it describes over there that there were these nine families that they dedicated themselves. They brought the wood, which was extremely difficult at that time. Remember that Eretz Yisrael was denuded, and they were able to find wood at a great personal tircha and bring it. And because of that, the Nevi'im, as we'll see, made a takana that these nine families for the rest of time will have the right to bring wood to the Mizbeach on the days that they had originally brought it. They were koveya those 9 days for those nine families as a yontif. Each family had a yontif on each day, and that yontif meant that there would be no hesped, and there would be no tainis, and they wouldn't do melacha on that day. So now what it says over there is that the Mishnah in tainis actually says each one of these dates. So it says, Mara az mana tseko animva amle imanot. What was the point of listing this in a Mishnah? I mean, these are private things. No. Because b'sha'ah shalu Yisrael min ha'golah v'lo matzu etzim balishka omdu elo v'nitnadvu etzim mishal atzma. These nine families dedicated themselves. They went out and brought the etzim, and they gave them over to the tzibur. Uh-oh, now here it seems to be saying beferish that certainly yechidim can give over things to the tzibur. And that seems here to be the machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yossi. So we're going to get to this. But first, we're going to go through the entire discussion. And they gave them over to the tzibur, and they used those wood that were given. They brought the korbanot tzibur with them. And the Nevi'im shebineihem made a takana that afil lishka meleya itzim. V'omdu elo v'nitnadvu etzim mishal atzmam, shelo yeh korban mitkarev elo mishalayim techila. That these families for the rest of time will have the right to donate wood on the day that they donated it from that first time at the binyan of the second Beis HaMikdash, and their wood would be the wood that would be used for the korban. So we see from here very clearly that definitely the yechidim are able to give over to the tzibur. So how do you explain that? Says Rav Acha, look, the Mishnah in Tainus is going al liba de Rabbi Yossi. Because Rabbi Yosef says the same thing over here in our Mishnah. Afarotzeh mitnei shomer chinam. So you see that he holds. See, the Tanakama is afraid if you're going to have a shomer chinam and he goes out and he sees people are coming, he picks it up. If he picks it up, he's going to be kainet. So if he's kainet, how is it going to be able to be used for the omer neshtei alech? Says Rabbi Yosef, what do you mean, how is it going to be used? So give it to the tzibur. What's the big deal? But the Chachomim apparently hold that once he was kainet, he can't give it over properly to the tzibur. And because of that, we'll end up, if we don't pay for it, we're going to end up without an omer shtei alechem. On the other hand, if these guys are working for us, then even if they would pick it up and be kainet, they would be kainet for us because that's the job that they're doing at the time that they pick it up. They're being paid to do that. So because of that, apparently the Mishnah that says that the people that bring Eitzim have no problem in giving it over to the Tzibur is consistent with the Sheet of Rabbi Yosef over here, who says that the watchmen could be volunteer watchmen, and it would not be a problem for them to transfer the rights to the grain that grew up as Svichin on its own in Shemitah. They would give it over to the Tzibur. Rabbi Yossi, B'shem Rabbi Ila, says, no, this is not dependent in the machlokas between Rabbi Yossi, the Tana, this is he's an Amor, obviously. It's not nothing to do with the Tanakama and Rabbi Yossi. It's Divrei HaKoli. This is going to everybody, because my pleading, what's the whole machlokas that we find about whether you can give over something to a Tzibur? That's only Begufa Shel Korban. So a korban, a person does have a desire to maintain his ownership of what is being brought on the Mizbeach. So that's the goof of the korban. But for wood that you're going to be using to burn the korban, there we don't have any chashash. And we're able to accept it from the yachid who gives it over to the tzibur. And therefore, the goof of shul korban, yes. But the makshiri korban, kuli alma meidim, shul mishtaneh, korban yachid, le korban tzibur. And there the Tanakama does not argue. And we have the same discussion in another case. And that is, remember that there was a big competition among the Kayanim Gedalim on Yom Kippur about the beautiful begodim that they would wear. So, Barnea, please unmute yourself. Oh boy. So the mothers of the Kayanim Gedalim used to invest, sometimes like $100,000 even in the making the begodim that would be so incredibly beautiful. Anyway, so if she would actually make the ketonet, which were the big day lavan, for her son, the Kohen Gadol, they could use that as long as she would give it over to the tzibur. Ubevachetim serena letzibur. So apparently, it's saying over here in the Braita that even though it's possible if it's not Big De Kuhuna of the Rabim, we're samech on the fact that she can give it over to the Tzibur. So Rav Acha said over there, you see, that price is only going like Rabbi Yossi. Because the same way that Rabbi Yossi said over here in our Mishnah, that you can utilize a volunteer shomer, and that afarotzeh is mitnadev shomer chinam. So apparently he holds is no problem in giving over something to the tzibur. And that's the reason why the mother of the Kohen Gadol can give over to the tzibur the big day kuhuna. And there too we find that Rabbi Yosef B'Shem Rabbi Law says it's not true. That goes even according to our Tanakama and Divrei HaKoli, because Ma Pligin, where do we have the machlokes, is dafke begufa shel korban. So over there, we're cheshish that an individual cannot relinquish his desire to have something of his own on the Mizbeach. But if you're talking about makshirei korban, I mean, that's like, we need it to belong to the tzibur, but it doesn't have that same romantic association of being my piece of the action on the tzibur. We're not going to be so cheshish. And over there, even the Tanakama, b'makshirei korban, kuli alma meida, shumishtane, korban yochid, b'korban tzibur, the same way that we said over here. Now, there is that I'm going to be learning this according to the simplest way, which is to say, this is the way the Pnei Moshe learns, which is to say that the very fact that Rabbi Yosef claims that the korban eitzim is not a korban, it's only makshirei korban, is a problem. And we're going to try to bring rayas now that the etzim that are brought are not makshirei korban. They are an actual korban, and in bringing them, we have the same problem that we would have on the actual giving over of an animal. Because we see from here that the Masnisa, we have this brisa from Megillas Tainis, and it's polig al Rabbi Yossi, and it shows that what Rabbi Yossi claimed, which is that it's not considered to be a korban, is wrong. Because it says, Otana yamim, noagin b'sha'at korban v'shalo b'sha'at korban. Whether there is a Beis HaMikdash or there's not a Beis HaMikdash, those dinim of the Zman Atzekeyanim are still considered to be binding. So it's osir to them behesped umbetainis. Rabbi Yossi says, no, eino noagin ala b'shas korban. It's only where we're bringing karbonas that we have these dinim of keeping it as a yom tov. Now, why in the world would we keep days as a yom tov for heksher? It's true that when a person brings a korban, that he is supposed to keep that day of a yom tov. This is a din in the Yerushalmi Gufa, Dafka in Psachim, that the Yerushalmi says, eino bedin shei odam osuk b'malachto v'korbono korav agavi mizbeach. It's so not nice. The person is being zeicha that his carbon is brought to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he's sitting there in the office answering telephone calls. It's outrageous. So that means that if we're utilizing that as the justification for maintaining the halacha of a yom tov, then obviously we don't view the etzim as being just, I'm putting gas into a truck of hegdash. I'm putting wood on the mizbeach, and that itself has a din of a carbon. And there's another raya to that. We could see this from another brisa. V'od min hada d'tanya. Omar Rebbe Eliezer Rebbe Tzadok. Our family. Now, this Rebbe Eliezer Rebbe Tzadok did not live at the time of the Beis HaMikdash. He lived after the Churban. And he said, our family were descendants from B'nai Sina'a ben Binyamin. Sina'a ben Binyamin was one of the nine families. And their korban etzim would come out on the 10th of Av every year. So Rabbi Elazar said it once happened that Tisha B'Av came out on a Shabbos, and they pushed Tisha B'Av off to the 10th. So we had a big problem, because according to our family, that day is a yontiv, and it's osir b'tainis. So what did we end up doing? So Dachino Atolametzai Shabbos, Tisha B'Av was pushed off to Sunday, and we only kept part of the day b'tainis, because it was osir for us to have a tainis the whole day. Vayinu mitanim v'lo mashlimim. So you see from here, it's not just stam, it was a minag. It was also a chiv that would be deicha, the din d'rabbanan of Tisha B'Av. So obviously it's a very chomor thing that they weren't allowed to fast and so on. And that can't be explained by just the fact that they made it a happy day. That's because it actually was a day in which they were bringing a korban. What was that korban? Was the korban I ate him. So therefore, it doesn't make sense from these two bekeres. It doesn't make sense for us to say that everybody would be made that this is only makshirei korban. It's not only makshirei korban. Okay. Now getting back to our Mishnah. The Mishnah says we would also buy the Omer and the Shtei Alechem and the Lechem Aponim and all of the korbanos Hatzibur. And now, the Gra takes out the next piece, but there's nothing wrong with it. The reason he takes it out is because at the end of the sugya, we're going to have to repeat it where it makes more sense. So fine, we can read it. So the Mishnah is clearly only going on Lebe Rabbi Shmuel, because Rabbi Shmuel says that the Omer cannot be brought from Surya. If the Omer could be brought from Surya, then we wouldn't have any problem, because we could bring the Omer from an area where there's no dinim of Shemitah. And he also, that you can't do that. So therefore, our Mishnah that says that you needed Shomrim to make sure that we would have Svichim that were available for the Omer and the Shtei Alechem must be going a Libra Rabbi Shmuel. Okay, so Taman Tanina, so now we're going to prove that. Okay, but this is like stating it up front. Because of that, the Gra takes it out. So Taman Tanina, look, I mean, we know that we've got this whole Mishnah Menachas that says, Kol korbanot hayachid v'atzibur, ba'im min ha'aretz mi'chutz la'aretz, min ha'chadash u'min ha'yashan. There's no din of any limitation on where it is that you're going to be bringing from Menachas, where you're going to be getting the grain for your mincha. You can bring it from last year's, you can bring it from this year's, you can bring it from Eretz Yisrael, you can bring it from Chutz La'aretz, but there's two very important exceptions. Chutz min ha'omer v'shtei alechem, and when it comes to the omer and the shtei alechem, that you can only bring min ha'chodesh, obviously, because that's the whole point. The omer and the shtei alechem are coming to be matir chodesh, that's the entire issue. But they also can only be coming from Eretz Yisrael, because it says, Ki tavo el ha'aretz asher ani noten lachem u'gzartem et tzirah. So, I mean, therefore, obviously has to come from Eretz Yisrael. So, therefore, you have this problem. And what are you going to do during Shemitah? Rav Chuna b'shem Rabbi Yirmiyah says, oh, but this Mishnah is only true in Menachos Alibi de Rabbi Yishmael. Because Rabbi Yishmael holds Eina Omer Ba Min HaSuria. So since it can't come from Suria, so even though Suria has some of the dinim of Eretz Yisrael, remember this is the land that David HaMelech had actually captured, and there was the question, it didn't have the full Kedushas HaAretz, because we didn't capture the entire Eretz Yisrael first. So the question is whether it was fully with all of the conditions, Alpi Besdin, et cetera, et cetera. So Rabbi Shmuel says, so therefore the tvua that's coming from Syria is not kosher. And there's also another Mishnah in Kalim that we had, remember, of Eser Kedushas Hain. So that was the whole parak in Kalim. There's 10 different levels of Kedusha. And it said over there that the level of Kedusha that distinguishes Eretz Yisrael from all other countries is, what is Kedusha Ta? Mai Kedusha Ta? Shemevi imi mena omer vabikurim. We have to bring these things specifically from Eretz Yisrael, and that's not true about anything else. So that also, it says, Rabbi Chiya b'shem Rabbi Yirmiyah, that Mishnah in Kalim has also got to be going according to Rabbi Shmuel, because it's Rabbi Shmuel's shita that says that Eina Omer Ba Min HaSuria. So therefore, we have these Mishnayos like all of which are going like this Rabbi Yishmael sheet. Then we have yet another Mishnah, Tamanta Nina. We also have the Mishnah in Shvius, where over there, Rabbi Yishmael says that, remember that we have that the very strange pasuk, Sheshes Yomim Tavodu Bayom HaShvi'i Tishbos, Becharish Uvakatsir Tishbos. So what's the meaning of the Becharish Uvakatsir Tishbos? So Rabbi Yishmael says it's talking about specifically these two dinim. Others learn it means the it's a remes to the ktsira of Erev Shemitah, of post-Shemitah, and the Harisha of Erev Shemitah. But he learns that it means Shabbos Mamish. Why? Because he says that it's coming to tell me that just like Harisha is always going to be Rishus. Why? Because you cannot find me a case where Harisha is a mitzvah. Ktsira is a mitzvah, because the Torah says, uktsartem et ktsira. So in order to get the Ketzira for the Omer, you need to do a specific Ketzira. So what this is coming to tell me is that the only time that the Torah says Sheshes Yomim Ta'avaydu Bayom HaShvi'i Tishbot is where it's not a mitzvah, the same way that Harisha is not a mitzvah. But a Ketzira of a mitzvah, namely from the Omer, is Deicha Shabbos. So Yotze Ketzira Omer Shu Mitzvah, and this means that you actually do the Ketzira on Shabbos. So if Tes Zayin falls out on a Shabbos, so then we do the actual Ketzira. So if that's the case, then it means that this is Rabbi Yishmael, which is following his own Shita. Because Rabbi Yishmael, the Omar, Eina Omer Ba Min HaSuria. So he's the one who's saying that Yotze Ketzira Omer Shu Mitzvah. Because, I mean, if he would have agreed that the Omer, I mean, he's saying the Omer has to actually grow in Eretz Yisrael, and that would mean that it would have to grow in Eretz Yisrael even during the Shnas HaShemitah, in the same way that it's Deicha Shabbos, it would be Deicha, the dinim of planting on Shemitah as well. So, Mantana Shomrei Svichim B'Shviyas Notin Tzchorim B'Trumas HaLishka, so now we finally get to the opening statement. So who is therefore the Tana of our Mishnah, where the Mishnah insists that there's got to be money paid, which is the equivalent of the money that you use to buy the Omer normally? Here it's the money that you're going to pay the Shomrim. That's got to be going again, according to Rabbi Yishmael, because otherwise all we need to do is order something on Amazon from Syria, and we can have it delivered. And what's the problem? What do we need to do all of this nonsense for? Must be that it's going Aliba to Rabbi Yishmael. And Rabbi Yosef says, no, everybody is Maida that we would need anyway to have these Shomrim. Why? Because even though Rabbi Yishmael, the Chachomi, the Ragan, Rabbi Yishmael hold that it's kosher from Syria, that doesn't mean that you're going to be able to get a delivery from Syria. So what would be if Lomatsu b'Syria, and everybody's Maida that for sure you're going to have to still bring your own Mishteh Alechem, so you'd have to bring it from the Sfichim of Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, you're going to need to have redundancy here. And the redundancy itself is mechayev you to have these shomrim to make sure that you do have at least available in a pinch. You have your own Mishteh Alechem that is coming from Eretz Yisrael. Now the question is, how far can you go? I mean, would you even be allowed to plant lechatchila? Because, I mean, you're saying that if there's no sfichin, what if there's no sfichin available? It's a very hot year. The sfichin means the stuff that comes up on its own. So what if the sfichin did not appear? Would you be allowed to actually plant barley? So Rabbi Chia bar Ada boika made the Rabbi Mana. What are you talking about? What good would it do you to plant barley? Let's say you planted the barley because you held that it's Deiche Shemitah, right? And that's like the Bechor Sheba Katzer Tishbat. Okay, so now you've got your barley and you make your carbon Minchas HaOmer. Let me ask you something. If you were over on the Isurei Shemitah, would you be allowed to eat that barley? No. So if you're not allowed to eat the barley, then you can't take the kemetz from the barley. Because the kemetz, whether Shirayim or Aser Bachila, is anyway possible. So what good would it do you to even plant it? You would end up with an unusable Minchas HaOmer because there would be no way to do the kmitza to be matir de shirayim. Therefore, I don't understand your question. Lo nimtza kekemetz al shirayim she'ina ne'echolim? Wouldn't you end up making a posel of kemetz? Says Rabbi Mana, no, because it could be Omar Lay, I mean, look, I'm not answering the question whether it's a lie. I'm just telling you that the question at least makes sense. Because maybe I would have said that it's Nazik Chamisha Dvarim, She'im Ba'im Betuma, Ve'ein Ne'echalim Betuma. So remember, we had back in Pesachim, we had the whole Mishnah in Pesachim, that there are things besides the Korban Pesach, where when you're Mevi Betuma, you actually eat it Betuma. But other things that we do bring betuma, which includes the omer and the shteil lechem, the lechem aponim, in other words, all the korbanos at Sibur are brought betuma, simply in order to be able to bring the korban. That doesn't mean that they're eaten betuma, because it's only the korban pesach, where tchilas asiyos or lachila, as the Gemara said back in Pesachim, that's eaten betuma. So maybe I would say it's the same thing over here. I have the problem of Shemitah. Okay, I understand. That's in terms of the achila, so we won't eat it. But in terms of the hakrava is still a kosher hakrava. So the question stands. Okay. Now, the Mishnah said that we're going to pay these people from the Trumas HaLishka. But how exactly do you do that? I mean, do we actually take the shkolim that people gave for the karbonas and we give it to these watchmen? I mean, so how is the money going to become chulin? If you buy something, you walk into a store and you buy the grain. So then that's exactly the way we're always mechalal kachim. The kedusha goes off onto the grain, and now the grain is kadosh with the kedusha of the shekel, which is how we're bringing it on the Mizbeach for Klal Yisrael. But you cannot be mechalal kachim on a virtual thing. The money that is owed to these people for their work, that's a virtual thing. There's no object for the Kedusha to be chal on. So if we can't simply give them that money of the Shkolim, obviously we're going to have to get the Kedusha of the Shkolim onto the Omer and somehow or other work it out that nonetheless we're going to be able to use their working. We're going to have money for their work. How in the world do we do that? Says the Gemara, no, what we do is very simple. We borrow money from the bank, okay? So we take money from the Shulchani, and we use that money, we pay them all along with that money, okay? And we do all of this before the Hakravas HaOmer. So everything that they do, with everything. That includes all of the different things that we need to do. It includes the shmirah. It includes the actual work at gathering it, cleaning it, doing all of the necessary preliminaries to make it grain that is usable for the carbon. And then when it's time for actually being makriv, the omer, when we have the final product. So then we bring the shkolim from the Trumas HaLishka. We're mechalal that onto the actual bit of grain that at now has cost us all of this money that we had borrowed from the bank. We're mechalal it on that grain, and then we would be able to use the money, which is now chulin, to pay back the bank. So everything would be posh, it would be beautiful. So I understand what this adds up to you. The tavus gain, this adds up. I mean, how much money can you pay for this little bit of grain which you're left with at the end? Asiris ha'efa, I mean, all, you know, it can't be worth that much. So how were you able to be mechalal on it? Says Rav Acha b'shem Rabbah, it's not true, because kol ma she'itein ein ein damav mishari shana. Whatever it is that ultimately ends up being the cost for those asiris ha'efa, it incorporates every last bit of work that was done. I don't give a hang how much it is. In reality, the only way that we're able to get this, you're right, it's a very expensive asir seifa, so what can you do? But that is what was invested in it, so that's what it costs us. So because of that, we're going to have precisely the amount of money that we need to pay back the bank, by definition. We have the same kind of issue when it comes to building in the Beis HaMikdash, where over there, we're going to have a big problem, because the binyan of the Beis HaMikdash per se is Kodesh, the actual building. So suppose we have people that are working now on replacing a wall of the Beis HaMikdash, okay? So how do we do that? Where are we going to pay them? Where are we going to pay them from money from the Beit HaKabayis? Let's say, we'll see where we get this money from, we're going to talk about. But we have money that is Kodesh. Assumedly it's from Kodesh Beit HaKabayis. So we're not going to give them directly, because then how are we going to be mechalal it? So over there it also says, Ketzer Oseh. So first, you take money from the bank, you borrow money, and you know Tomoz Bishulchani, and you pay that for all of the work, for the Chutzvim, the Satatim. I mean, there's a lot of work that needs to be done. It needs to be quarried, it needs to be cut to size, and then it needs to be decorated with the little cuts and all of the things. And this is before you move the stone onto the demos. The demos is where it's the next stone in place. The row is called the demos. And then what we do, the moment that it's placed on that demos, we now take the cash from the Trumas HaLishka. See why we use that cash, where that comes to be used for this particular purpose. And we would be mechalal it. And this is clearly a bit of a problem, because that some change the gears, because we don't really bring it from the Truma Halishka, because if we bring it here, we bring it from the Shiyari Halishka, certainly not from the Truma. Anyway, so okay, so some change the gears, huh? And then we're mechalal that Kedusha onto the actual stone, and now we have all of that money, and we use that money to pay back the bank. And there too, we had the same question. What, this is a good Eitzah? V'tov Hussein. I mean, how much is the actual money that should be paid for a stone? Said Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Bon b'Shem Shmuel, anything that was invested into that stone is what that stone costs. So koma she'itein ein ein damya mishar rishona. What do you mean, how much is a stone? We're not buying a stone on the open market. We are buying a specially invested stone to be able to use here. Whatever it costs, that's what it costs. So it's the same svara that we have over in this sugya as well. Now comes a very important introduction by our very own Kapitan, who is being paid from the Shiyore Halishka, which he himself donates. So get to it, Kapitan. So we've got some more things that we haven't mentioned yet, have we? What about the Pora Aduma, huh? So a Pora Aduma, even though it's not mamish a carbon, the Torah calls it a carbon, it's called Chatati. And since it's called Chatati, so it was also used from the actual Trumas HaLishka, and we compare it to the other Chataot. The Sarah HaMishtaleach on Yom HaKippurim, that's not the Musafim, so it's not included in the Musafim. It's... I don't know how that happens all the time. And it isn't really a korban, is it? Because it's thrown down la'azazel, but nonetheless, since it needs to be roy for korban, this is connected to korban la'ashem, so because of that, they both have to be shayach to being brought on the mizbeach. Therefore, we use the money from the trumas halishka to buy the soil la'azazel. Then we also have the Lashon Shel Zuhurit. Now, the Pasha says that Lashon Shel Zuhurit is talking about over here, when we burn the Parah Aduma, we need to have the all of the ingredients that it says in the Pasuk, Eitzeres Ve'ezov U'Shni Tolat. So the Shni Tolat is very bright red. It's called crimson. In English, that is called always by Chazal Lashon Shel Zuhurit, because it shines out this bright red wool. So that is also brought from the Trumas Halishka. Now, there are also things that were bought from the money that was given to the Lishka, but it was not taken out in the Truma. All of that is called, as we've seen many times, Shiurei Halishka. So the Kevesh that was brought for the Parah Aduma, remember the Parah Aduma, we took extreme precautions, Lagabe Tuma, of anybody that was Isaac in the Parah Aduma. This was because of the Tzedukim, that they were upset that we would bedavka in order to be oikir, their das, about a tful yom. So we bedavka made the Kohen into a tful yomi. Because of that, we had a lot of tremendous chumras, one of which was that we protected the people that were walking with the Parah Aduma from any possibility of tumas tahom that might have been from a grave that was buried underneath that we didn't know. In order to do that, we had to build a special bridge that came from the Beis HaMikdash and went out from Shar Shushan. It went all the way to the Mokum of the Srefas HaPora on Har HaZeis Mimul. Now, it had to be, however, a double-arched bridge, because how would we be able to protect the top of the bridge from all Tuma if there was a place where it was actually connected directly to the ground, and then the Tuma, if it was Tuma Ritzutza, it would go through it? So we built this as the arches upon arches, which is quite expensive. So that bridge and the Kevesh of the Sur HaMishtaleach, which the Gemara said you used to have these Bavliim, that's a low-class rednecks that they would wait for the Sar HaMishtaleach to be taken out, and then they would start saying, you know, they would grab its hair and pull on its hair, and they'd take it and get rid of our sins, take it, you know, out of here. And so because of that, they had to build an actual bridge that was able to go to the place where they would throw down Azazel, because otherwise these weirdos would be sitting over there with their superstitions. And then there was also another Lashon Shel Zuhuris, which was tied between the Karnava. It isn't really tied between Karnava. What happens is that before we throw down La'azazel, we split the Lashon Shel Zuhuris so that we can see whether it turns white. And we keep half of it on a stone, and the half of it is tied to its Karnayim, because we're afraid that if we just let it go rolling down, maybe its head will turn out to fall under its body, when we won't really see whether the Lashon Shel Zuhuris turned white as a siman of kapara. So we split it into two. The Amat Hamayim that ran through the Azora, the Chomot Ha'ir, U'migdudoteha, the Chol Tzorchei Ha'ir. So also the Chomos of Yerushalayim itself, which were, of course, the Mechitzas of Achilas Kachim, and therefore were Nogea, the actual Karbonis that were brought, and having water in the city, and making sure that there were shamrim, and so on and so forth, all of that was brought from Shiarei Halishka. And we'll see that Bezdin was Koveya with a Tanai on the Kedusha, what things could be brought from that Kedusha. Abba Shaul Omer, no, the actual Kevesh for the Parah Aduma was paid for by private funds, and the Kevesh of the Parah, the Kohanim Gedolim used to support that upkeep throughout the years from their own money, because it was the chashivas of the kahuna and its taira. Okay, now, we've been talking about the Shiore Halishka, but there's also another Darga, which is Mosar Shiore Halishka, as we spoke about at the beginning of the daf today. And there, after we utilize the money for all of the above, we still have money left over. What do we do with it then? Lokhin bahem yenot shmanim uslatot. What we would do is we would invest, and we would buy wine and oil and very chash of a flour. These things would be kept on a tremendous madrega of tahira in the Beis HaMikdash, so that people who were going to be bringing karbanas would pay a big premium to have the actual things that they were bringing be purchased from Hekdash with the best possible heksher, purveyors to the Melech Malchei HaMelachim, which apparently is a very, very good heksher, even according to those who won't trust HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shechita, but at least they'll trust the Torah. And because of that, they would buy it from the Beis HaMikdash. It would give us a lot of money. And because of that, we would have a sachar lehekdash. We could use the profits for anything that the Beis HaMikdash wanted. So says Rabbi Shmuel. So these were called the Mosar Peiros, which according to Rabbi Shmuel is a whole new category, because then we would have other money that would then be used as Mosar Peiros. Rabbi Akiva says, we do not do business with money of Hekdash, because we cannot guarantee that there'll be a profit. We cannot even guarantee that something may not happen and the price collapses, or maybe something is mufsad, it burns up, or whatever. You're not allowed to do that. And you cannot use money for aniyim for investments, because aniyim need to be fluid. How do we know we're not going to have a sudden need? And if we invested the funds, we won't be able to supply the needs for someone who doesn't have what to eat, or someone who's been captured, or someone who doesn't have clothing. So that money needs to be fluid. And therefore, I disagree. I hold that there's no difference. You cannot use Mos for Aniyim, and I disagree with Rabbi Shmuel, who says you can use Mos of Hekdash. Now, there's also, we never discussed, what would we do with money that was left over from the actual Trumas Halishka? We only talked about the Shiore Halishka. The Shiore Halishka was the money that was left behind as Shirayim after you took out the Truma. But the Trumas Halishka itself could also have money left over if after I buy all of the Karbanas that I need that we mentioned above in the Mishnah, what do I do if there was money left over? It was used for Rikuei Zahav Tzipui Lebeit Kodesh HaKodashim. So as we spoke about before, they would make these tiles out of pure gold, and they would would tile the floors of the Kodesh HaKodashim and the walls of the Kodesh HaKodashim as much as was available, they would use to make the most beautiful work about this. Now, Rabbi Shmuel holds that the Mosar was used, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, the Mosar of these Peiros, which according to him were used, we got these Peiros because we utilized the Mosar of the Shiore Halishka, of the Shiore HaTruma. Those Peiros were used for Kayet HaMizbeach, to bring as Karbanas Eilos, like the same way that we would have a Mosar Chatas, we would also have Kayet HaMizbeach from these Mosarais. Meiser Truma L'Klei Sharet, the direct money that is left over that we need, if we need a Klei Sharet, since a Klei Sharet is something that is used for the actual bringing of the carbon, so Rabbi Shmuel Tainas that being able to have the Kippurei Zahav to use for the carbon is gufa like the money needed for the carbon. So I could use the truma itself, if I didn't need it for the actual animal, I could use it to buy clay shores that were used for the carbonus. And that is more choshev than berakabayit, because berakabayit is for the bayit, but this is for the carbon itself. Rabbi Hanina Skanakayanim, or here called Rabbi Hanania Skanakayanim, is the same person, says, Mosar Nisachim. I have left over from the Sochim that I bought, that was used for Kayetz HaMizbeach, because the Mosar Nisachim is the same din as an Eila. It was burned entirely. It was used entirely on the Mizbeach. So because of that, it should be used the same way Mosar Eila, and that goes for a nedava for the Eilei Satzibor, which is called Kayetzam Hizbeah. Meiser HaTruma, that I agree with, should be for Klei Shores. But neither agreed that we should buy these fruits and create Moser Peres in order to make money for Hegdash. They all followed the Shita of Rabbi Akiva. And it wasn't only Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Chanina Skanakrenim also clearly didn't go Aliba to Rabbi Shmuel. Because according to Rabbi Akiva, he says the Meiser HaTruma is the Kayetzam Hizbeah, not the Meiser HaPeres. And Rabbi Chananya Skanakrenim says it comes from the Meiser Nesachim. Okay, so now in the Mishnah, we spoke about the Zuhuris that was burned together with the Pora Aduma, and we spoke about the Zuhuris that was tied onto the Ben HaKoronot, is the lashon that's used, of the Soil HaZazel. But the truth is that there's even a third Zuhuris. And what is that? So let's go into the Mishnah. Kevesh HaPora, and the Lashon Shel Zuhuris, says Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachman B'Shem Rabbi Yonatan, there are actually three different dinim of Lashonis Shel Zuhuris. Because there's three places where the Torah says that you have to bring the argaman, that where it's dyed, and we've only discussed two of them. One of them is the Soira HaMishtalayach, which we spoke about before, and that is here in the Mishnah, and we always hope that that changes color on Yom Kippur to be white. And that was a long piece because it had to be cut into two. We needed to tie some of it to the sun and some of it to the even. So because of that, it weighed a selah. A mitzera, who also is mechuyev with his, when he goes and is mitaher, so it says, v'tziva kohen la mitaher, shtei tzipurim chayot torot, eitz eres, and it says, sheni tolat, which is the agma dyed thread. So that we didn't discuss. It doesn't give a shear over there. And so because of that, it doesn't have to be particularly big. So one shekel weight is sufficient. But the Pora Aduma, it said that it has to be thrown into al toch srefata para. And if it isn't heavy, it's not going to stay in a fire. It's just going to blow out from the fire and start floating through the sky. So because of that, Shel Pora was shtei sloim. Rav Chunya Divrat Chivrin says, and Rabbo Barzav, the Peshem Reb Shimon Mechalavta, says the shear of the Pora is shnei sloim umechtza, which actually equals 10 zuz, 4 times 2.5. And indeed, there are some that say that that is the Lashon, not 2.5. But Itamafkin Lishna, there's an Ikede Amri that say Asara Zuz, because that was the way that the halacha was given over to them. And as we saw elsewhere, it's a mitzvah to always say over halacha in the lashon of the Rav that taught you the halacha. So even though it's the same thing, 2.5 selah is exactly the same thing as 10 zuz, but they, bedavka, were makbid to use the lashon of 10 zuz. Rabbi Yehuda b'shem Rabbi Shmuel. So there we started talking about the Moser Shiori HaLishka. He says there are other things that were also paid out of those funds. Talmidei Chachamim hamelamdim et hakohanim hilchot shchita, hilchot kabbalah, hilchot schara, zrika, notlim scharan, also from the Truma Salishka. Doesn't mean literally Truma Salishka. It means, again, we're using it more casually. It means, of course, the Shiori HaLishka. So these were necessities for the Beis HaMikdash. The Kohanim had to be Bekiyim in the Dinim of Shkita, and they had to know Kabbalah and Zrika. So in order to learn those, they had to hire Talmidei Chachamim to make sure that the Chachamim were all Bekiyim, and they were paid out of the Trumas HaLishka because that was their job, and they couldn't do any other kind of work. Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Radifa, B'Shem Rabbi Imi says, there were other things. How about people that needed to be mavakir kochim? These, Barnea, you keep interrupting, please. The people that were mavakri mumim in the Beis HaMikdash were also on permanent call, and they were experts in mumim, and they were notlim scharan mitrumat halishka as well. They also had to pay. It doesn't mean, again, Trumat Alishka. It means the Shiore Alishka, because that job was also very important for the Karbonas. So it's as if it's the Karbon itself. Rav Acham, Rav Tam Chumrachia, B'Shem Rav Simuloi, says, the ones who are Magiye, Sefer HaHazara, would also be Notlin Tzcharon, Mitrumas Alishka. So here, there's a lot of question. Is it the Sefer Ezra, or is it the Sefer of the Azora? And in the Bavli, there it's the Svarim Bechlal, not only the Sefer Azara. So there's different ways of understanding it. The Gra says that he thinks the correct Yersa is the Sefer HaAzara. So that Sefer HaAzara was the Sefer that was used to be Magia all Sefarim, and it was always kept Muga precisely. And that's where we were able to see Chaserais and Yeserais and Tsuchais and Stumais, and that was kept always in perfect condition. Others learn that it's talking about the Sefer in the Azara that was used by the Kohen Gadol for the Kriya Berabim. So that was the Kriya on Yom Kippur, and it was used by the Melech for Hakel. That's also an approach. As I said, some of the Rishonim have the Girsa of Sefer Ezra, and it's referring to the Sefer that was written by Ezra HaSefer himself, and that was the Sefer that was used to be Magia other Svarim. And then in the Bavli, we had the Gemara in Ksuvas that says that since Bezdin is Mechuyev to see to it that people do not have Sifrei Torah that are Psulim, because it says, Al Tashken Be'ohalecha Avla, so there was also, they had people going around being mitakein all of the various Svarim all over the place. Machlokas, whether it's referring Dafka to Sifrei Torah, even the Torah Nevi'im Ksuvim. So wherever they would find in any shul and so on, Bezdin took responsibility that we would have Sifrei Torah that were reliable. Gidol Bar Binyamin, B'Shem Rav Asi, says even more than that, the Shnei Dayanegi Zeilot were notlim sechoran mitrumat halishka, again meaning, of course, from shiore halishka. So since we had to have two people that would be there all the time, and they were dedicated to that purpose and weren't able to work, that it should be possible to have immediate dinim that were done in inyanim of gizelas. So because of that, it was necessary to make a tnai to utilize the money that would come from the leftover in the Shiore HaLishka. Shmuel says, the parochets that were replaced all the time, and they had women that were constantly making the parochet, since that was the place where dam would often hit, and some it was so central to the Aveda in the Beis HaMikdash, they would also take their money from the Trumas HaLishka. Rapuna says, no. That's part of the Bedek Abayit, because that's part of Binyan. And if it's part of Binyan, so then it should come not from the Trumas HaLishka. This is basically construction. Ma'poli, Shmuel holds that we have to give them the din of Korbanos, because so much of the dam of the Korbanos and the focus on the Korbanos was done this way. Now, this is assuming that we're referring to the Parochot that are bifnim. We're not referring to the barachot that were the wall between the Kodesh HaKadoshim and that where there used to be a wall. So it's the entire double barachot. Because of that, the Gra changes, and he says Shmuel Oved Lo Kekelim, not Shmuel Oved Lo Kekorban. And Rav Huna, because remember we saw before that Kelim are also similar, according to one sheet that we had before, are similar to the need of the carbon itself. Rami Rav Huna says it's just part of the binyan, and binyan is paid for by the Bedek HaBayit. We are concluding the last things about what it was that we used, the various fundings. We had five different fundings that we discussed in the Mishnah. So the last thing that we learned was the sugya of Tana Rabbi Yehuda Gad Gedut, perhaps. Actually, elsewhere, it's very popular, Rabbi Yehuda Grogroth, but okay, I guess the Girsa over here will stick with this Gad Gedut, that Keteres, Bechol Korbanot HaTzibur, Ba'in Mitrumat HaLishka. So the Ketores itself, of course, is part of the things that we use directly from the new Shkolim. But the question is, the Mizbeach HaZahav. So we talked before about the Klei Sharet that could be coming from Motarot. And the justification for that idea was that since the Klei Sharet are directly needed for the actual Hakrovas HaKorban, it makes sense that we could bring them also from things that had originally been Kodesh for the Korban. So the Meisar Nesachim that we have, which we'll explain in a moment what we're talking about over here, remember that Rabbi Akiva said in the Mishnah that Meisar Nesachim went for the Klei Sharet, and that was his justification. We're extending that over here to say that the Mizbeach HaZahav is like the Kelim, because we need the Mizbeach HaZahav for the Haktorah of the Keteres. The Mizbeach of the Eila and the actual Heichal and the Azores, that comes from the Berek HaBayit. So that's taken from, this is the Girsa Mitukenet. You see that there's a Machlokas HaGirsa, whether we bring it from Shere HaLishka. The Pashtus is that it comes from the Berek HaBayit. And this is the Groz Girsa, but there's a lot of Rishonim that don't have it, that have the way we have it written over here. And Chutz La'azarot, Ba'in Mishyarei HaLishka. So the question is like this. We had a specific fund that was used for Binyan, but that's Binyan. The Mizbeach that was built in the Beis HaMikdash, the Mizbach Avanim, was made out of Avanim. And that was Binyan. It had a din of Binyan the same way the Mikdash itself has a din of Binyan. Masha'inkin, the Mizbeach HaZohav, that has a din of Kelim. And in fact, you could only use it for the bringing of the Keteres. So therefore, we put the Mizbach HaZahav together with the Klei Sharet, and we put the Mizbach HaOlah together with the Heichal and the Azores. But as we already saw, because of the fact that the Chomat Yerushalayim is itself part of the Kedusha of Achilas HaKorbanos, because we're only allowed to eat Kodshei Kalim within those Mechitzas. So therefore, Mechitzot Yerushalayim are also viewed as a Tzorchei HaKorban, and they were one of the things that we were koveya to use the Shiorei HaLishka for. So therefore, those elements are indeed brought from Shiorei HaLishka, and despite the fact that the Mizbeach HaEil and so on is brought from the Lishkas Berek HaBayit. Ask the Gemara, but something's wrong with that, because the Braisa says that if somebody misuses a stone from the Chomos Yerushalayim, say a stone became loose, it fell out of the wall, and somebody takes it, and he uses it for his garden bench, he would be chayiv in me'ila. So if you're telling me he's chayiv in me'ila, that means that it had to have been brought from primary Kedusha, because you're not chayiv in me'ila if you're just bringing it from Shiraim. Yesh me'ila b'shiraim. The way you're learning that it was brought from Shiorei HaLishka, something is wrong with the Braita that says you're chayiv in me'ila. Says, well, what's wrong with that? Didn't we see that Rabbi Meir holds that you're mailing in the Shiraim? So according to Rabbi Meir, it works out just fine. No, it doesn't. Yesterday, says Rabbi Chiya, didn't we learn yesterday that the whole point of Rabbi Meir is that the reason that he says you'd be mailing in the Shiraim is because he holds that the Shiraim were bedavka not viewed as Shiraim. And they were kept open so that if you ran out of the Trumas HaLishka, you could always go in and take more. So he argued on that whole idea, putting down the tablecloths, the katablaot, but that obviously doesn't apply to the Shiraim after the new year. I mean, that over here we bought it from Shiraim. It could be we bought it 100 years ago. I mean, that of course is not going to be Kodosh. You can't keep open last year's Shiraim for this year's Truma. So, Klum Amar Rabbi Meir, Ela B'toch Shnato. Rabbi Meir says you keep it open in case you may still need the money. But over here we're talking about Chutz Mishnato. I mean, the things that we have for Yerushalayim obviously weren't purchased, according to Rabbi Meir, with this year's Shiorei HaLishka, because Rabbi Meir holds we kept the Shiorei HaLishka available in case we needed for Korbonos. So how the heck would we have used it to buy Chomot Yerushalayim? We would have used it from the bank account of previous Shiorei HaLishkas, where we have millions saved up, so we took it from that. So even according to Rabbi Meir, it doesn't make any sense. What Rabbi Yehuda Gad Gadot says makes no sense. How could it be that we're going to be using the Shiorei HaLishka, if the din is that there's Me'ila, so clearly it must be that we use funds from Hekdesh Gufa for Berek HaBayit. Amrub Chizkid, it was something else that Rabbi Yehuda Agadgadut said. He said that the Shulchan, the Menorah, the Mizbechot, and the Parochet, if they're not all there in place in the Heichal, you can't bring Korbanos. Akvin is a Korbanot. So that if you don't have, because if you take a look at the Seder of the, in this week's Parasha Grufa that we just had. So first we set up everything, Vayosem, Vayosem, right? We put everything into place. And then it says that they went ahead and they brought the Korbanos. So it's mashma that all of those things that we were some inside of the Heichal, they were all necessary for the actual Korbanos. And that's Rabbi Meir Shita, Aliba Rabbi Yehuda Gadgadut. Chachamim Imrim Aliba Rabbi Yehuda Gadgadut? That is not true. And that Ein Lecha Ma'akeva Korban, Ella, it should say, Karkov the Karen Bilva. The only thing that we're makbid on is the Tzuras HaMizbeach Achitzen. So over there we learn out from the way that the Mizbeach is described in the Beis HaMikdash that you have to have Kranot, and there was a Karkov HaMizbeach, which becomes, of course, in our terms, becomes now the Sovev of the Mizbeach. That's part of the shape of the Mizbeach. If you don't have a kosher Mizbeach, so then Enochinami. Then it's possible. But nothing else is considered to be Makshirei Korban. Now, the question is that neither of these approaches, both of which come from Rabbi Yehuda Gadgadut, he's saying what Rabbi Meir holds, and he's saying what the Chachamim hold. But when we take a look at the Shitas Lamaisa that everybody else mentions, it's neither of these. Because Lokin Amar Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yosef Bar Chanina, both of them said, Trehen Omrim, that the way to determine which things are ma'akev, the karbonas, is dependent on how the Torah describes the placement of those things. So where the Torah used the lashon of nochach. Nochach means it has to be present right there. It's like it says, V'samta ha-menorah, nochach ha-shulchan. That is positively essential because nochachut is the actual direct presence. But when it just says v'samta, let's say al tzela hamishkan, so over there what hashulchan titen al tzela tzafon, is that the same lashon as nochach that it's present? No, it's simply giving you the location, but it didn't say it absolutely had to be there. So if it says tzela, it's not ma'akev. So first of all, that means that both of these shitas hold, like neither of the things that Rabbi Yehuda Gadgadut said, right? Because, nobody said that only, let's say, the menorah is ma'akev and the shulchan is ma'akev. And Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachman, he says, b'shem Rabbi Yonatan, no, it's not true. Even if it says, al tzela tzafon, which is the shulchan, that would be ma'akev. And Rabbi Yulah explained, and he said, that this b'shem Reb Shmuel Bar Nachman, that even sima is ma'akev, which is what's used like throughout, right? That it's a vayasem et kirashav, or vayasem mechse ha'oel, we have in all of the vayasem et parochet ha'masach. So over there we have everything in terms of sima. But how exactly would we find the shita of the Tanoim over here, of the Tanakam, of the Chachamim, where would we find the lashon that say only the Karkov and only the Karnot? Nobody says that. So something's wrong. Rabbi Yehuda Gadgadut isn't supported by any version at all. On Rabbi Chanina, you're confusing things. It's two completely different sets of issues over here. The Amoraim that we're talking about over here, that we're talking about Sela and Sima and Nochach, notice that all of those words were used here in the context of the Avodah Shebifnim, because they're talking about inside of the Heichal. So inside of the Heichal, Enochinami, there is nobody that agrees that we're only going to be makbid on the Karkov HaMizbeach HaChitzon, on the Keren Mizbeach HaChitzon. It's a completely different issue. But we're over here, where we were talking about the Karkov and the Keren, we were talking about the Avodahs that were done outside. And they're done in the chutzner. So over there, the Chachomim say, nothing is ma'akev if it's outside. So what's wrong? It works out perfectly good. I don't see any problem.